Chew It with the Pruitts, Episode 12. Wanna be a Paula, shot Kala.
Hey, I'm Kenny.
And I'm Holly.
And this is Chew It with the Pruitts.
We're back for Episode 12.
We're still with our good friend Paula Hoffman.
We just had
the conversation run so long that we just decided to plan on it going into two episodes.
Yeah, we like to gab.
It makes life easier, and it just means that there's more frequent episodes for all of you listeners out there.
Right, just making your life better and fuller.
So we left off with a riveting game of Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit, where Holly defended her championship.
It was a close call, though. Paula definitely gave me a run for my money.
Yeah,
you're tough to beat.
Let's
be honest.
Really, let's be honest. I don't have a whole lot else going on in my life.
She's been studying all week.
I have not.
It's true.
We decided this yesterday.
Right. So. No, we did just decide this yesterday.
But we're back here for episode 12. And in our intro segment, we normally just, you know, talk about some things that are going on recently. One thing that I mentioned in an intro segment a few episodes ago was that I was nearing the end of a weight loss competition.
Yeah. So you have reached the end of it. How did it go?
So I didn't win, unfortunately.
Yeah. I did already know this because we're married.
That's true.
Our listeners didn't know. How did you do, though?
So I got second place.
And how much did you end up losing?
So I lost 19 pounds for the competition, and that was 5.9% of my body weight, my starting weight.
Right.
So I lost 5.9% of my starting weight. The guy that won only lost 14 pounds, but it was 7.4% of his starting weight. So he did win. Now, I made a mistake as the organizer of the...
A very frustrating mistake I'm still not over.
I organized the contest, and the original parameters were that the first place would... So second place would get their money back, and first place would get the rest of the money.
And silly Kenny didn't take his money back. So we didn't get anything.
Yeah, so I am out $25.
We are out $25.
Should have made my money back.
Well, and then the part was is when we actually had already had a date night scheduled that night. And so when he told me, oh, I got second place, I was like, well, that's cool. We'll have $25 to go towards our date at least. And we didn't.
It's true.
We still had a great time, though.
It was still a very good time. But we're still doing the six-month competition.
Yeah.
I had ice cream tonight, so I need to get back
you've
in the groove.
You've been off work. You took a couple days off.
Yeah, I took
off,
a couple
so
days off
kind of
work.
Been,
it's,
and tomorrow,
it's Easter
yeah,
weekend.
Tomorrow's Easter.
We had family over last night. So come Monday, back at the gym. I did still make it to the gym 3 days this week.
Yeah, you
taking
did.
Taking 2 days off.
And I need to get back into doing stuff too, because I actually have set a fitness goal for myself. Now, full disclosure, I have not been to the gym in probably a month because the kids just really, Kenny's work schedule kind of changed a little bit. And then the kids changed their nap schedule. And so it just made it really difficult to get to the gym and not lose time, not lose family time, which is still more important to me than, you know, than having a perfect body. So I haven't really been able to make it to the gym. I have been doing some stuff at home, but not as much as I should be. But I did decide, actually on our date night, I believe, last week, I made a goal, and I'm going to stick with this goal. So today we are recording. It is March 26th. By December 31st, 2016, I, Holly L. Pruitt, want to have a six-pack.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's... I don't even think I was pregnant with Charlie yet, and I just kind of came to the realization that, you know, I could be really skinny if really thin if I actually tried. I just don't. And to me, it's not about being thin or having the perfect body. It's about just being healthy. But I thought, why not just try for something? Mm-hmm. Because just trying to be healthy hasn't really been working out for me because I'm not being healthy. So why not have some sort of specific fitness goal that isn't weight related? Because I don't really care about weight right now. Like, that's not something that to me represents fitness. So
that's my goal.
I was gonna say that's actually what I said.
Six pack is pretty tough.
Well, and my torso is really short too. I don't know if I have enough room for a six pack. I have really long legs, and my torso is midgeted. So yeah,
the four pack I think would still. All right, I would consider
I'm going
that.
To amend my goal. I, Holly L. Pruitt, by December 31st, 2016, would like to have a four pack.
Yeah, that's a lofty goal. You are currently thanks, at. Babe. That's just well, hard just, for anyone yeah, to difficult. Have.
Yeah, unless you
very defined abs that you would qualify as a four pack.
I mean, a four pack, I guess, flexing. Like if yeah. you know,
oh, right. I mean, yeah. it's not like you're just going to be walking around with a permapack.
I'm not the Rock, okay?
Yeah, but you can already do a 1 minute plank. So
I'm not the Rock, but he's got my vote.
Are we already starting his campaign for 2020?
2020, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Who do we want to see him run with? Sorry, I'm off. I'm an right. off-topic puller.
No. I
Steve Austin?
No.
No, I couldn't. No,
not someone else.
Not the Texas Rattlesnake. We need a...
Not someone else from the wrestling world, right? Let's go someone from the movie world. Oh, okay. Let's go that direction.
Maybe, I mean, Vin Diesel would be the most likely candidate, right?
Yeah.
Like a Fast and Furious ballot.
What was that one movie that he was in, not Vin Diesel, The Rock, years ago, like maybe 10 years Tooth ago? Yes. No, with a...
Race to Witch Mountain.
Walking Tall.
Oh yeah, with
Sean William Scott. Sean William Scott. I was trying to think of like a duo.
Is that the guy from American
yes.
Pie?
Stifler.
Yeah.
There, he also did one with Steve-O, didn't he? No, not Steve-O. The other guy from Jackass,
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah. He also did a movie with Johnny Knoxville,
The Ringer.
No, not The Ringer.
That's also had Kevin Hart in it before I knew who Kevin Hart was.
The Ringer is really
interesting. I've never seen
it. It has Katherine Heigl in it.
She was one of my.
Yeah, that's surprising that you haven't seen it because it has Katherine Heigl in it.
I had no idea she was in
it. I liked that movie. I don't know if I'm supposed to like it. I know. It's okay to like that
movie. Is it okay?
Not anymore.
Anyway, so that's my fitness goal. For, I don't know, I have to do something. An updated fitness goal.
For the remainder of 2016.
Yeah, I have to do something. I have to have something I'm working towards. Because once again, just the goal of being healthy hasn't really been doing it for me.
Well, and you guys are going to do some 5Ks. Are you going to do a 10K? That would be another good goal
I know.
To do.
I don't know if we're going to have time for a 10K because the Warrior Dash... Gosh, it's just going to be such a busy summer. I think we're going to do a 5K in May, just a straight 5K. And then we're going to do the Warrior Dash, which is a 5K obstacle course. And that's in September. So if we were going to do a 10K, it would have to, I mean, if we're talking like weather in our area, mm-hmm. it would have to be either over the summer it's just going to be so hot, or it would have to be right after the Warrior Dash because the weather's going to start getting crappy. Within a month after, you know, even in that time frame, because Warrior Dash is in September. Warrior Dash is at the end of September, so we're running out of time to do a 10K. We'll see how the 5K goes first.
Maybe that'll be a 2017 goal.
I think you guys should have another race.
Yeah, well,
that's what the Warrior Dash is. Okay. The race 2.0.
Yeah. For real, but because we've already paid for it. Like, we can't back out.
It was right after my...
Baby shower.
Yeah. It was like ever baby shower.
Right after, like a half hour later. Like, we walked from...
Yeah, I know. Because my mom and my sister were there.
The baby shower was at the house, like, I was...
That you lived, yeah.
That's how I can, like, reference you guys to my sister. I'm like, you know, the couple who, like, did the race.
Yeah, they got married. They had babies.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the race 2.0. Is Warrior Dash.
Okay.
Stepping it up a notch. Cool.
Which is going to be kind of a bummer.
I should be able to make it more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be kind of, well, but you, I don't know. It's going to be kind of a bummer not running it together, running it against each other.
Yeah.
Because it is something that's going to be really difficult. So we'll see. Because there are stakes. There are undisclosed stakes to this race.
Like a moment in there that would make me cry where it's like, you stop and...
I
do
have
it
to
together.
Go back to help you over an obstacle.
And then I pull then you down.
And then you beat me.
Sucker.
Yeah, like Brink.
You just can't stand competing. You just can't stand competing. You just want to do it together.
Yeah. It is going to be difficult. We'll see. I mean, it's still 6 months
we'll
away.
See
so we'll
if
see if
it,
we can actually.
If we get to like the second obstacle, it's like, okay, we're going to have to work together.
Yeah.
Just finish this thing.
Because some of the things will take upper body strength that like I'm just never going to have.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe if I have my 4-pack by then.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already rocking a 4-pack.
You can have a 4-pack with no arm strength.
Right.
I've only been doing sit-ups. I haven't been doing any other exercises, so I have
well,
great,
theoretically,
I have great
you
core.
Do some planks.
Yeah.
So your shoulders would get a little bit, but that's still not everything that you need.
Right. Well, I would need a strong core. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. Cool.
So, Paul, I know that you've been, you're actually like, because we did a lot of at-home workouts before, like even in our dating life,
yeah.
We kind of have been doing that for
yeah, so
a long relationship. I know you've also
story,
been doing it
my
too.
My current status, so about a year and a half ago, I like did the 21-day fix, like had a former coworker friend who was a Beachbody coach and doing that. And so I signed up, I did Shakeology, I did the 21-day fix. And I lost like 19 pounds in 2.5 months or something like that. And yeah, it worked really well for me. And I really liked the like at home fitness stuff and bought several other programs. And like I signed up as a coach to get like the discount and stuff. But then I kind of dropped off it because of the like also thinking that I might be able to make some money off of it. And then, and yeah. So anyways, so last summer... So a year after having started, I kind of like fell off and got just like sick of doing the business stuff
mm-hmm.
and just kind of tanked. Had a rough fall this last year too with just stuff, dramatic stuff with my husband's family and have like regained all of the weight that I lost when I first started that. And so I definitely am like needing to re-up my... fitness habits. My main thing has always been that I want to find like habits that like last.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just do something, you know, like I just want to change, even if it's like a small thing and then I add another small thing. Like,
yeah,
those are the things that, and I think that some things have changed from what I did before, but it needs to be more.
Well, and I know like for us, like we were doing the clean eating and we still are. I mean, for the most part, we know we said like we've had kind of a rough last couple of days, but I think we actually have been doing really well about the food that we keep in the mm-hmm. house. I have issues with food personally, so
yeah,
I don't
do
as well as Kenny does, but Kenny's been doing really well. And
yeah,
and I know like for the gym,
Dr. Pepper is going to be your biggest hindrance to a 4-pack.
But if all the carbs I consume are Dr. Pepper, like what if I just cut out all the carbs and
you
then
just have one Dr. Pepper
and then I won't go to McDonald's and get it all like.
Is it, yeah, is it a 32 ounce Dr. Pepper or is it a can?
I don't know. What size can, a 12 ounce or 7.5 ounce? Anyway, so I know for us, like the gym, honestly, like going to the gym is what makes our, like is the habit that we're able to keep. And
yeah.
I know it's not like that for everybody, but. That is something that we've been able to keep up with, whereas working out at home, like, even though it sounds like it would be more convenient, there's always... First of all, your couch is right there. Like, I'd rather just sit on my couch and watch TV. But then there's always something else that, for me, especially during the day, if I have time to work out, I have time to clean or cook or fold laundry or, you know...
Get some other tasks done.
Yeah, get something else done. And those are the things that actually cause me, like... anxiety if I don't get them
mm-hmm.
done. And so I don't know, so for me working out at home is much more difficult than just going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe that we still haven't tried. I mean, we've done our TV workout
mm-hmm.
that we sort of made, but we should
yeah,
try
I liked that.
Like
yeah.
looking up a specific show.
A couple of suggestions that I like that came to mind when I heard you guys on the last podcast talking about the your like Blazers workout that you did and with your timer. I have an app on my phone called it's like 7 minute workout, and they have different like just 7 minute workouts that you can do, and it's just like some workouts that you do like for like a certain amount of time, and then you know they recommend doing it one more time, like doing it for 14 minutes if you can, but if you can't, it's like at least you did the 7 minutes. And then Fitness Blender is a YouTube channel that has a bunch of HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training workouts.
I remember you telling me about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's just like it's this couple that does it, and so it's either the husband or the wife on the screen, and then the other one I think usually like narrating what to do, and it's just like just that. And so
interesting,
you know, a lot of like plyometric kind of stuff and burpees and
I know that the 7 minute workouts reminds me of, we have 10 minute trainer from Beachbody, and that's, I mean,
those are intense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, I mean,
we have,
if
a lot
you
of
only
time
have
workouts.
10 minutes, which everyone has 10 minutes. And that's the whole idea of it, is like, you can't say you don't have 10 minutes. And then it's better than nothing, and you get a workout.
I definitely woken up sore the next day from a 10 minute minute trainer workouts.
Yeah, they're intense,
and that's actually what we started with when, like,
I was getting back in. Yeah, when I went from not working out at all to working out,
we just started getting up like a half hour earlier together. And
yeah,
just...
I would usually do 2 10-minute trainer workouts. I would do the yoga one every day, and then I would do like a second one. So do like the yoga one as a warm up, and then do like a cardio or a weightlifting one or something.
That was when our kids slept in. They don't really sleep in anymore.
That's true.
My idea, and I've had this for a long time, and I need to like try it long enough besides just like one day, which is all I've accomplished before. So maybe it's an unrealistic goal, but like to try to start getting up at 5:30 working, like getting on and doing my grading and my sending, you know, responding to emails and stuff like that for the day. And then from, usually I then like my kids get up at 7, I get them ready, I take them to grandparents and preschool, and then I'm back by 8:30. And so usually that's when I start my like work day. And so I was thinking about doing 5:30 to 7 working. And then when I get back at 8:30, then doing a workout and shower. And then like at 10, getting back to, you know, getting on and like calling students. Because students, I don't usually call. I try not to be calling students before 10 o'clock anyway. So it's kind of like, why not swap those?
Just try a different rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, playing around with it, definitely finding that sweet spot. For me, it's been like, if I can get to the gym by 6:30, that's like... ideal. A lot of times it's closer to 7.
Yeah, because we were trying to get right there, all four of us, right at 8 o'clock, but then it just was too stressful when we got back with Kenny, like then just instantly having to leave and go to work, or like shower, get ready and go to work. It just wasn't like much family time. And then he was going, you know, at 6:30 before the kids woke up, he'd be home and like the kids would just be waking up. And then I was putting Charlie down for a nap right at 9, and then waking him up at 10:30, and then like feeding him, and then taking the kids at like 10:45, 11, and then able to work out until noon, and it's not busy at all.
Yeah.
And it just like seemed to be, and then that just seemed to work out. But then Kate started at like 10:30 or like 10:15 and be like, I go night-night. I'm like, really? And she would sleep for like 2 hours. She would at 10, and that's kind of what she's... hasn't been able to stay awake even till that 10:30 mark, where I can, because if I can keep her awake that long, then she'll just go. It's not a big deal.
She has fun. Like, right. She's not going to whine at the
Which
gym.
Which Charlie will, but
now you're going to just, she's going to take a nap and you're going to sit here and do sit-ups.
Right. That's not. That has not happened. That's what's been.
You just use Charlie as a medicine ball.
He's such a brat sometimes.
You're like.
I know. That's what they tell you to do. That's what all those like fitness moms tell you to do. But my son doesn't like it.
Speaking of babies, let's talk about some baby steps.
Yeah.
I think it's time for the first ever Few It with the Pruitts.
So Few It with the Pruitts is a new segment. Kenny, why don't you explain what that means?
So, I mean, it's a loose reference to just maybe spending less, budgeting.
Yeah. Fewer dollars.
Yeah. Just being smarter with your money. We've talked about, you know, in the past.
Sorry to throw out another name. Could it be a Cruet with the Pruitts?
Maybe if we were actually following the true Dave Ramsey.
If we were following all of the baby steps, yeah, then we all would the way be too. A Cruet.
So yeah, we have talked about how we do the envelope system in our very early episodes when we were doing our old format. Mm-hmm. And so we have been doing the envelope system, the Dave Ramsey envelope system, since we first got engaged, or right before that, or right after we got engaged.
Yeah, we basically, when we got engaged, we sort of were just thinking ahead, like, what do we want out of marriage? You know, what do we want our lives to look like in 5, 10 years, whatever? And Holly really wanted to be able to stay at home. So we just decided, like, the most likely scenario is not going to be that I'm going to be making a ton of money. It's that we're going to not have very many expenses. And so that's when we decided to start the Dave Ramsey system of, you know, his 7 baby steps.
Now, and you guys, because we had talked with you about it when we started doing it, or like right after that. And so you guys also, like,
when we were very first married, my parents, you know, said that if we found a financial piece, which is Dave Ramsey's like course, if we found that in the area, that they would pay for it or whatever. So we got like the kit with like the book and an envelope system. And then there was like classes that we went to at like a lot of local like churches will
do it. Only ever you can seen find it at churches.
Yeah, you can find it at, you know, like they list them on Dave Ramsey website, but yeah.
So for those of you that are not familiar with the baby steps, he has 7 baby steps basically that
to financial freedom.
Yes, that's sort of his goal is financial freedom, and so the first step is to start with a $1,000 emergency fund. So before you do anything else, before you start paying off debt, just find a way as soon as possible, preferably in just, you know, 2-3 months, to just scrounge together everything you can to put away $1,000 and an emergency fund.
Get a second job, whatever. Right.
Whatever you have to do to get that $1,000 just to start the process going, because you need that security that if something comes up, if there's an emergency, that you're not reaching for the credit card. You want to be pursuing financial freedom. So start that emergency fund. Second baby step is to start paying off all debt except for your home if you have a mortgage. So the way that he does that, or the way that he recommends to do that, is to start with your smallest debt and then work up towards your largest debt. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, mathematically speaking, you should incorporate your interest rates in there too, technically. But he sort of just speaks to the just the psychological advantage and the psychological like high that you get almost when you see that first debt get paid off. So if you have a credit card debt that's only $300, there's just something that feels really good about accomplishing paying off that $300 credit card bill, even though you might have a $3,000 bill that has a much higher interest rate. You're just gonna, and what he calls it is his debt snowball. So you want to start paying everything off. And once again, as Paula said, you're cutting down your expenses. Now, this isn't one of the quote unquote baby steps, but involved in this before you're even starting your emergency fund is making a really strict budget. And you're wanting to stick to that budget. You're wanting to know where every single dollar that you have is going before you get it. So when you get that money, you're not spending it on things that on a whim.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then also the envelope system, which we'll get into a little bit more detailed. So step three, you want to turn that $1,000 emergency fund into 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses, which you should be very familiar with because you have a very strict budget. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what your monthly bills are each month. And so you want to have 6 months worth, in a perfect world, of your expenses. So that way, if something like a lost job happens, then you can make it 6 months without having any stress.
And when we did that, we included, so we didn't, well, I guess the first time we did it, because we've had to rebuild it since then. But when we did it, we included our envelopes, like our monthly, the money that we're putting away monthly in our envelopes.
Yeah.
As part of our expenses.
We did, yeah. So even things like, you know, putting away
health and beauty, car, yeah, you know,
clothing, budget, clothing,
just things like gifts, that. Whatever, yeah, 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 exactly. And so, I mean, obviously,
you also that's, don't want a loss of a job to just all of a sudden be, well, you don't do anything that you were doing before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want it to.
So know, even though it's still technically a lower priority than like paying bills,
right?
It's still, you know, like quality of life also need and mental health are a high priority, and those things contribute to that.
So step three is the furthest we've ever got.
Yeah.
Step four moves into starting to invest your money. So the idea
well,
is
we
if,
have some
if you've paid off all of your debt, if you have a really good emergency fund, then you should have a pretty decent amount of money each month that you've been using to either pay towards debt or to
and
put in the savings.
Save.
Yeah.
Right. So now you have however much money, $500 a month, $1,000 a month, 2,000, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that you can just start putting away into actual like retirement savings. So he recommends 15% of your total income that you start putting away towards retirement. That's step four. He recommends then for step five that you start doing the same thing for college funding for your children. Step six, once you have 15% going towards retirement, 15% going towards college fund, then just pay off your house as fast as you can. So at that point, really the only debt that you should have should be your house. Pay that off as soon as you can. And then step number seven, build wealth. So at that point, you have no debt. You're just putting away money in long-term savings. And so all the extra money you have, you can just invest, build wealth, and then give. Be generous with your money. Help people with the wealth that you've created. So,
and I know that when we started it, we definitely were not looking to get rich or build wealth. That was not the goal. I think the
right.
biggest thing for us, like we said, was that we wanted me to be able to stay home, and in order to do that, it wasn't going to be finding something that was making exponentially more money. It was cutting down the money that we needed. And so that's how we've been living. I've been staying at home for almost 2 years now, and we've been debt free for just about that long.
Well,
other than our house, and we bought a house.
Having those habits, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, just like we were just talking about, like habits with health, mm-hmm. like habits with spending too, because we have not followed it. you know, we did for a while, then we have not. Then, you know, some things happened in our life where my husband was out of a job and going to school. And so then we accrued debt during that time. And now we're getting our act back together so that, we can get out of debt, because all what I'm always thinking of is like this money that's just going towards debt is anytime we're talking about things we want to do, mm-hmm. things, goals that we have, or even thinking about retirement or college savings, it's just like,
right.
Can't do it. We can't, we have to pay off the debt first, because even if we tried, you know, if we tried to work those other financial goals at the same time, you're just wasting money because of the interest payments that
right.
you could.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it is funny because like this is a habit that for us has stuck. I mean, we've been enveloping mm-hmm. for, like I said, since we got engaged. So for
almost 5 years.
Almost 5 years. I don't know how long ago that was. Almost 5 years. And it's just something that I honestly, it's so second nature. I honestly don't think about other people not doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I can't imagine like using a credit card and not paying it off. I can't imagine like going to a store like, oh, we need a new couch. Let's go and financing a couch. Like I honestly can't, and not to like put that down because that's how the majority of, you know, America lives. But like, it's not even something that's fathomable to me anymore just because I haven't thought that way in so long. So my brain just doesn't even go there.
We have decided in a few specific occasions to finance something if like it was offering 0% interest for just to actually try to build credit when we were trying to buy a house. Yeah, so like, we actually did finance our couch, but
we had cash to pay it off. It wasn't
we had the couch. We could have paid cash, but they were offering like 6 month risk free financing or something. Yeah. So we decided just to do the financing and put it in my name so that I would have some credit.
So we could buy a house. But yeah, so that's the thing. So, and we do, I think we have talked about this before. We do use a credit card. We have one.
We buy almost everything.
We buy a lot of stuff on our credit card. We just,
for like the rewards.
Right, for the rewards. And we get tons of cash back every month. But we always, like, it's always stuff that we are still tracking in our envelope system that we paid off every month.
But even I would say, we do should there be someone who's interested in doing this? This is like, once it's habitual.
Yes, that is not, that is like,
don't try to do it at the same time. I would never,
No. Do not start enveloping and then
do it this way. Yeah, because we probably did it for 3 years before we did any sort of.
Yeah, we were all physical cash for at least 3 years.
Ultimately, what ended up making us convert from physical cash to doing more like credit cards and stuff was we counted it out and Holly was carrying around like, $2,000 all the time in her purse. And it was like, that's just a bad
idea. And then like, and I know we have several friends who, you know, you, and then we have other friends that also envelope and the response is, well, you just don't carry those. But then what would happen would be, I would, you know, need something, you know, like I'd be out and about like, oh, I need to, oh, sorry, I need to get a headlight or I need, you know, do something. And so it would have to come from an envelope that I'm not carrying, but then I would only have 20s in there. And so then I have to go to the bank and, oh, I need to just deposit here. And it's like, I don't, that's just so much work when we were already in the, so I carried them all with me for that, because that did happen. I know it seems like a far-fetched scenario, but like that happened very often.
Yeah.
Like, very often that was happening. And so,
because we also, we kind of went to an extreme of having, like, really specific envelopes.
Yeah.
You probably don't need as specific of envelopes as we had for some things.
Well, I think of things, like, that I would have, you know, things that I'm going to sock away for, like, Christmas gifts and like, vacation. And I would have no need to carry those with me. For sure. I wasn't thinking about like automotive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because the automotive budget, it's like,
you don't. It's like almost like you need like automotive petty cash and automotive like saving.
Right. Exactly.
Right. No, exactly. And that's, and like, and then how do you keep track? I guess like, I don't know. How do you keep track of that?
Yeah. Cause the automotive, we were putting away like $100 a month and then, you know, you don't want to have to be spending that every month. So just in the automotive, there'd be $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, so it ended up being,
we had to figure out another way.
Right. So that's when we just converted to doing all digital.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe our minds would have been changed if at the time we were doing, Paula was doing her new business endeavor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it was this January that we decided, like, our New Year's resolution was to, like, get, you know, back on a budget, tracking our finances better, and try to go cash only. We have not, we're still working at it right now, but I decided that I was going to, that I wanted to get, like, a cash envelope, like wallet or system. I remembered that the kit that we got had that Dave Ramsey like makes, you know,
right.
It's not cute. Makes some. Yeah, no, they're these little like, they're paper envelopes.
Paper envelopes. Yeah.
So that like, have like a ledger.
A little ledger there for you.
And yeah, they would like rip apart.
Yeah. And the little flaps are always like messing with each other mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yes. But yes. I just like looked at it and like the basic one that they had was $10. Just the basic one. And then they had like some that were more like wallet like, you know, kind of leatherish looking like wallets. That were more expensive. And then I thought, well, like in the spirit of this, I also sew somewhat that I was like, I should see if there's like a tutorial somewhere for making like something that you could sew like this. And so I found that and I had everything that I needed to make it except for zippers. So I just had to buy zippers and then I made like a 4-pocket zipper, you know, cash wallet. And I posted a picture of it on Facebook. We're like, yeah, you know, like budget resolution. I made this. I'm pretty proud of it. And a bunch of people, like 15 people.
It was nuts.
Facebook friends.
People were like, oh my gosh. I need this.
Viral. Right. Yeah.
Basically.
I need this. And so I'm, you know, had like 15 plus orders, quote unquote orders. Yeah. And, you know, went to the fabric store and got all my supplies and made those. And then I posted the pictures like saying, okay, they're done. Like, you know, need to start sending them to people. And then 20 more wanted them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this little side bit. And I was like, hey, you know, Dave Ramsey would be proud.
Right. Like, absolutely.
That I came up with this way to like make a little extra money.
For sure.
And I don't know exactly how much I make per wallet, because I just, it's also like just a creative outlet mm-hmm. right. and I enjoy doing it. And yeah. I try to think like, I want to keep it budget friendly.
Yeah. So people. You're not pricing people out. Right. You know, where, you know, traditional markup is, you know, a couple 100%. Yeah. Where you're probably not.
Right. So mine are around like $20 and $25, depending on how many pockets you want. But it's like the other ones on Etsy are like $30 to $60 yeah. for them. Yeah.
My so eyes that's just got really wide.
Well, everything on so Etsy is expensive.
I'm not going to do like a bunch of bells and whistles on mine. They're going to be right. simple, but cute.
They are
yeah,
good.
They're very cute. Sure. Yeah. Compared to, so oh what God. The, now it worked.
It did.
And we went through a few different options. Holly did actually get like, the actual Dave Ramsey wallet and we mm-hmm. tried some different things. If you're looking to start this, you can start today by literally going to the Dollar Tree or just an office supply store and getting just a little mini plastic accordion file organizer. It works great. That's what we used for a long time. What ended up being the best for Holly that we ended up switching everything out is she got a coupon organizer because mm-hmm. it actually was like 15 pockets.
Right.
Now, and she got like a nice, it was a Dave Ramsey coupon organizer. It matched the wallet
I got from Dave Ramsey.
But we ended up just switching out and just using the coupon organizer because it was basically 15 slots,
mm-hmm.
but it actually was like a nice leather wallet that had like a strap and everything. That was the best thing that we found, but these wallets are much cuter.
They're definitely much cuter. I am still trying to figure out, because I don't have one yet mm-hmm. because we don't use cash anymore. So I'm still trying to figure out if I could like justify like the organization, like how I would organize it.
I'm gonna try to come up because
I have a weird organizational system now. Anyway, I still use the coupon organizer for other things. So I need to figure out.
I don't. You know,
I'm gonna come up with
some
other products. Okay, so there could be something else.
Okay. Maybe if you could figure out a way just to have a removable strap, you could actually just carry that around.
As like a little pocketbook.
Just a little purse if you just wanted to take it out with you. Like, you know, maybe just figure out a way to put two little metal hooks and then you could have like a removable strap. Maybe that would be for you because then you could just carry it as your wallet.
That's true because I am constantly switching back and forth. So I got a wallet that
I
love.
I just take it out of my, and then I like, it's got Velcro and a little flap or whatever. So I just stick my phone inside the flap.
Yeah, so I got a wallet, a little clutch wallet that I love. It fits perfectly in my diaper bag, and it has a phone slot inside. And so, like, that's what I would do. And I'm just at a stage in my life where I'm always carrying a diaper bag still, and so it's hard, you know, to switch back and forth. And so I would just, perfect, I don't need to get a purse. I could just grab my keys, I can put my phone inside my wallet, keys and wallet, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got a new iPhone and I had a slim case on it, and then it got ran over by a car, which it ended up being fine because I had a screen protector, like a shatter guard screen protector on it. So the phone is fine. I still have it. But I kept dropping it, and Kenny said, yeah, you can't ruin this phone. It's really expensive. So I had to get an OtterBox case, and yes, now it doesn't fit inside of my wallet anymore. So now I do have to
switch. At the very least, maybe you could just request at least one of the pockets to make sure that it would fit an OtterBox.
My sister has made some that have a phone pocket inside the front flap.
It would have to be a pretty honkin' pocket.
Yeah, so I just set mine right like that.
I just know myself. That's just,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it does eventually slide out. But just like a little...
I have actually left...
Honestly, just one of the things you can just dedicate for your
phone. Because I have...
Because for you, since you don't necessarily carry cash, maybe you could have one with your credit cards. Mm-hmm. Or maybe for yours, you could request, instead of having four or six pockets, you only need two or three pockets, and then have...
This one that more I took credit card slots. I get the zippers like much tighter in there now, so the pockets are not that tall anymore. Although, well, no, that's still that's plenty of room.
I have definitely left my phone on a clothing table at Target before, and then I was pregnant and with Charlie, and just remember thinking all of the pictures of my daughter are on this phone. And then we found it. But yeah, so I mean, like, I'm very bad about that.
You might just have to get a custom one made. More credit card slots, less pockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a two pocket
if you want to. I think honestly, a two pocket with extra credit card slots. And you just basically need a pocket for your keys, a pocket for your
phone. My keys aren't going to fit in there because you make me have that huge keychain on my keys.
You can take it off if you want.
But baby Kate really likes it. She always looks at it and says, Mommy and Daddy.
Anyway, it is from our honeymoon.
It's from our honeymoon in Vegas. It's a picture of us.
Well, Paula, is there a website? Is there somewhere online people can find this?
On Etsy, it's Uncommon Threads Shop.
And we'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Same name on Facebook. You can connect with me either place. I have some pre-made wallets that are posted there that you can purchase. Or I also invite, all the first wallets that I did were just working with people on color schemes that they liked. And I have tons of fabrics, so you can hit me up for a custom order too.
Yeah.
And we're working on getting a Holly one of these.
Maybe even a custom prototype.
Yeah. Ooh. It's exciting.
We still haven't finalized the details of what your wallet will be, but we are working on it still.
It'll probably at least be purple.
We know that much for sure. What we also know for sure is that we still have about 45 minutes of Paula conversation remaining, so we're probably just going to save that for episode 13.
Yeah, we just had way too much fun chit-chatting with Paula.
It was a very good time, but we wanted to make sure to end the episode with the answers from the question that we posed last episode. What was that question, Holly?
Well, since we did have a discussion about Harry Potter and trivia, we wanted to find out what everybody's Hogwarts house was.
Yeah, to be completely transparent, I don't really care all that much about Harry Potter, but she has made me take the Sorting Hat quiz on Pottermore. And I believe it identified me as Slytherin.
Which you would also identify yourself as a Slytherin.
If I had to guess, and that's what you would expect me to be as well.
Yes.
You've taken it, and I think we've shared this before, but you are...
I'm definitively a Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw. See, I couldn't even remember that one. I don't know all that much about
Harry Potter. Yeah, I don't have much trouble deciding which house I belong in.
Okay. So, Paula, on the podcast, we thought about having her take the test, but she took it after the podcast was completed, and she left this comment in response to our question, officially Ravenclaw. I'm pretty sure I'd have been the prefect that led you to the common room the first time, Holly Pruitt. P.S. We have the best colors and the prettiest Horcrux.
Oh, for sure.
Now, you have to explain to me what she means, that she would have been the prefect that led you to the common room for the first time.
Oh, it, like, warms my heart to even think about it, to, like, imagine Paula being my prefect and we're going. So, like, okay, as a first year, so, like, you get sorted during the opening, like, the year.
I think I remember the scene, like, so, the hat talks.
Yeah, and all the first years get sorted, and then you go to your house's table, you have a feast, and it's awesome. And then after that, the prefects lead the first years and the rest of the house to the common room to then get settled in.
So is, if you're just not a first year student, are you automatically a prefect?
Or, no. So they're like, it's a selected position.
Okay. And how many prefects are there?
I think that there's two per year starting in year five.
So by year five, you mean the fifth year you're at Hogwarts. Yeah. You start when you're 11. And there's how many years? 7 years?
Yeah.
I guess so one year for each book.
Yeah.
So you essentially start in what would be the equivalent of fifth grade?
It's probably sixth grade. You start when you're 11.
I'm sorry. So sixth grade. So yeah. Essentially it'd be like middle school and high school.
Right.
Okay. Now what do little witches and wizards do prior to being at Hogwarts?
Well, it is not addressed in the book, but Ms. Rowling has released, and this is canon now, that they are typically homeschooled because they do not have control over their powers.
Okay, fair enough. Harry just didn't have powers that manifested because he wasn't raised by his parents?
He did. He just didn't know
what they were.
What they were.
Okay, okay.
And his aunt and uncle were very mean to him.
Fair enough. Paula also left a couple comments not related specifically to the poll question, but she just wanted to let us know, I think you guys are a little bit Paula after all that chatting. I had a great time. She also wanted to defend her usage of the term put outer rather than deluminator. She wanted us to make sure that we knew she did not make it up. She put a link here to WikiBooks, I guess a Harry Potter wiki, mm-hmm. and it is specifically listed in there as deluminator/putouter.
Yeah, I saw that comment, and I just have never heard that term before, but I obviously don't know everything about Harry Potter, so I learned something new.
Absolutely. We had a couple different postings of the same thing. So Holly had a couple comments on a different thread.
Yeah, so Kevin and Jordan Zaid both commented to respond to the question that I, Jordan, am a Hufflepuff with a side of Slytherin, and Kevin is a Gryffindor Hufflepuff. Those are not surprising.
I don't know anything about the type of person that would be any of those things.
Yeah, no, those make sense. And then Jordan Pargetter, friend of the show, hey Jordan, said that she took the Pottermore test and got Gryffindor, but she's always back and forth between Hufflepuff and Gryffindor. So she's very torn, and she identifies very strongly with Mr. Neville Longbottom in that sense.
Now, Neville, he's the one that actually killed Voldemort?
No, he killed Nagini, his snake.
Okay. Okay. Because he was the one that also the prophecy could have been about him, right?
Yes. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Yes. And that, and the fact that Voldemort chose Harry fulfilled the prophecy. Okay. Not that it, so if he had chosen Neville, it would have been Neville.
Interesting. Okay. Fair enough.
From my understanding.
Well, we had a heebie-jeebie, as we do pretty much on every single episode that we posted. Or actually, we didn't post it to anything. We just had a response, once again, from Kevin Zaid, with the correct answer. Last week's clue was Meager Bill, and Kevin responded. He made sure that he responded both on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, he wanted to be very thorough.
He wanted to be the champion of both Facebook and Twitter.
Champion, yeah.
So he responded with the correct answer of Measly Weasley.
Very good, Kevin. Congratulations.
And thanks for that that clue, Paula. It was a good one.
Yeah, I do love Harry Potter.
Also, Mr. Zaid left us one of our favorite things ever, a voicemail.
Hello, Chew It With The Pruitts. My name is Kevin Zaid, and I am the host over at The Zaid Story. And I'm calling in to leave my first voicemail. I'm a longtime listener, been listening since episode one, and I'm calling in for the first time, even though I have interacted with you in other ways, like being the all-time reigning champion of Heebie-Jeebie with one defeat. Thank you, Mrs. Pargetter. I'm calling to say a couple of things. Number one, you guys' show is coming along great. I'm really enjoying it. I love the new segments, especially your View It With The Pruitts. Obviously, as the host of a movie podcast, that is going to be my favorite. I think you guys nailed your View It segment about Creed quite well. I thought it tied into your talk about breaking out from your stereotype or your family money versus coming from nothing. I thought that was a really interesting conversation you guys had. So I'm calling for that reason, and I'm also calling to tell you my favorite segments, which I hope you continue to do, are your game segments. Loved Heebie-Jeebie. Loved listening to the Pargetters play Harry Potter trivia. That was a lot of fun. So keep up the games. I think that's your strongest bit. I really am enjoying it. And on that note, I would like to leave you with two clues. Both spawn from episode 10, 9 and 10. My first heebie-jeebie clue is going to be a Stallone character and an Irish rock. My second clue comes from your political discussion. A shrimp company and a business tycoon. Thanks for your show, guys. All the hard work you put into it. Looking forward to the next 10. For The Zaid Story, I'm Kevin Zaid.
It's not The Zaid.
It's not the story.
It's The Zaid Story.
Thank you so much for that voicemail, Kevin. We are still working behind the scenes to get a two-part episode put together where the Pruitts are on The Zaid Story, and then we have The Zaid Story on Chew It With The Pruitts.
Yeah, it's kind of like a must-see TV crossover.
Yeah,
type
absolutely.
Thing.
So I wrote down the heebie-jeebie clues here.
Okay.
So the first one was a Stallone character and an Irish rock, and then was a shrimp company and a business tycoon.
Well, the second one, I believe, is Gump Trump.
I could second that. I'm pretty sure. That's the first thing that came to mind for me as well.
Now, an Irish stone. Is that what the second part of that clue is? So an Irish stone. So the first thing that comes to mind is emerald. But what rhymes with emerald?
I was thinking like shamrock.
Shamrock. It's not a stone, is it?
I don't know.
I thought a shamrock was the clover shape.
I don't know. Well, he said an Irish rock, so I also assume it wouldn't be shamrock.
That makes sense, yeah.
This one is pretty tough.
Sylvester Stallone. Okay, so what movies has he been in?
I mean, gosh, he's been in a lot. It could be Rambo.
Rambo. Don't make me play the ABC game with heebie-jeebies.
It could be... Gosh, I honestly am not really up on my...
Who does he play in those movies?
In the Expendables?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've seen those movies.
Yeah, I know, but... Well, okay. I've seen them all one time. And they're not like they're epic, legendary roles like John Rambo and Rocky Balboa.
I'm really frustrated with you right now that you don't remember his name in those movies, because that could be it. And while look it up right now,
it could be cheating.
It could be
any of his characters. I mean, yeah, I definitely can't think of... I think that if we picked the right Irish rock, it would be easier. I mean, emerald. I just don't know what would rhyme with emerald.
It's like orange or purple.
His name in The Expendables is Barney Ross. Kevin, you might have a stump on this one. We probably are going to hear it and just feel really silly.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's what's going to happen.
We even had to resort to looking on IMDb. You'll have to let us know what the answer to that one is. A Stallone character and an Irish rock.
I'm still trying to think of it, and my brain is just not working. Unfortunately, Kenneth and I are both currently sick, so our brains are kind of fuzzy.
I mean, we could blame it on that.
No excuses, though.
I guess 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
I guess. I mean, that's still failing.
It's true.
The Ravenclaw in me is not pleased.
I'm really sorry that I let you down. I am probably, of the two of us, more likely to know Stallone characters.
Obviously. I've seen one Sylvester Stallone movie. Well, okay. I've seen Rocky and Creed. So I'm only going to count those as one because he plays the same character.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky Balboa. I just don't know an Irish rock that either rhymes with Rocky or Balboa.
Or Rambo.
Or John. However, we do have a heebie-jeebie clue for this week. The clue for you to solve this week, listeners, is... Superior Telegram.
That is Superior Telegram.
I don't think that we have we've mentioned all the ways people can get a hold of us, so this sounds like the perfect time to do that for this episode.
Yeah, so we have all of our social media. We've mentioned Facebook and Twitter already.
We also have our email address, contact@chewitpruitt.com.
And then if you go on our website, chewitpruitt.com, there are links to all of our social media pages.
Absolutely.
And then there's our absolute favorite form of contact.
Absolutely. Leave us a voicemail, 507-407-CHEW.
507-407-CHEW.
Thank you once again for the voicemail, Kevin. We love it. We look forward to partnering together at one point to have a super two-part episode between the two podcasts.
Absolutely.
Now, I snuck in an extra game in here that I haven't even told Holly about.
Oh, no.
I have a fact or fiction headline.
Okay. I'm not prepared. and my fuzzy cold brain may not be able to comprehend. But
so let's just do it anyway. To remind the listeners and Holly, the way fact or fiction works, I'm just going to read a headline and Holly has to guess if it is a real headline or a fake headline.
All right, let's do this.
The headline is, Governor Kate Brown and state legislature embarking on plan to build Great Wall of Oregon.
This is tough because it sounds super outlandish, which makes me think that it would be too obvious to be a fiction.
Here, let me read a little bit of this article for you.
I thought the point was that I have to decide based on the headline, though.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to say, you can't see my face right now, but I'm very apprehensive to answer. I'm going to say fact.
Okay. The Oregon legislature is expected to be called into Salem this June for a secret special session to discuss plans for keeping people from moving to Oregon. Oh. According to documents obtained by That Oregon Life.
You could have just told me what date this was published
the on. The centerpiece of this initiative is a plan proposed by Governor Kate Brown to build a Great Wall of Oregon, which would completely surround the state with the exception of the coast.
That's really frustrating.
Brown said she was inspired by Donald Trump, who is generating controversy with his proposal of building a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border.
Okay, what's annoying...
I offered to read some of it. I know.
What's annoying about this is that it was posted on April 1st.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely an April Fool's thing.
And I actually had heard about this with excerpts from a different part of the article listed as the headline.
Okay.
So, I should have known. And if you had just even said the date...
Well, but that would have completely given it away.
So would reading the article...
Okay. You were the one that wanted to play by the rules.
Ravenclaw.
So if you see any good headlines floating around out there that might stump us on whether it's fact or fiction, send them our way. We'd love to answer those on the podcast, in addition to keeping those heebie-jeebies coming as well.
Definitely. Now, do you have any recommendations for our loyal listeners?
As Holly mentioned, we're both a little under the weather. I've mentioned on previous podcasts, I believe, that I am not a fan whatsoever of warm beverages. But I have discovered something that I go to, and this is just recently. Holly introduced it to me, and it's now my go-to if I am feeling a little under the weather in regards to a cold or a sore throat. And it is called Throat Coat. It is not technically medicine. It is just a tea specifically designed for, like, sore throats.
Yeah.
It's by...
Traditional Medicinals.
Yeah, Traditional Medicinals, which in and of itself is a heebie-jeebie. Maybe that's why I like it so much.
It's super yummy. I actually heard about it years ago from a customer when I was working for a bank.
I don't really love the taste of it, but it's... fine. Like, it doesn't taste like much of anything
to
me.
It's pretty mild.
Yeah, it's very mild, but it really has helped. Like, I've taken a little bit of DayQuil today, but the rest of it has just been Throat Coat, and I'm feeling much better. So, I mean, the name of the company and the particular tea are both heebie-jeebies, so that just adds to the allure for me.
Well, I'm glad that you're starting to feel better. I'm glad that my recommendation could help you feel better.
We'll see how I feel tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, I'd love to be able to get up in the morning and go to the gym, but that's probably not going to happen.
We'll see. Just drink some Throat Coat before bed.
That's my plan.
My recommendation stems from a fabulous girls' weekend that I had just this last weekend. Me and my ladies went to Sun River, Oregon and had a fabulous time just being girls and being away from our husbands and our kids and just getting a break from it all. And the weather was beautiful. It was absolutely perfect. So we went on a bike ride and silly Holly, I forgot to bring sunscreen. I forgot to wear sunscreen. I just forgot it all. And I was wearing a tank top because it was, 70 degrees and clear skies and just perfection. And I got a nasty sunburn all over my back, all over my shoulders, all over my chest. It's terrible. It itches so bad. And my recommendation for y'all is sunscreen. It is now officially spring. Sunny weather, if it has not hit you already, is right around the corner. And gotta wear that sunscreen.
Yeah. We don't want any cancer floating around the Chew It With The Pruitt Nation.
No.
Or the Chew It With The Pruitt Crew. The Chew Crew? Is that a thing?
We're working on it.
The Chew Crew or the Prue Crew?
The Prue Crew. Ooh. The Prue Crew sounds like it would be our family.
Yeah, the Chew Crew.
Yeah, maybe. We'll fine tune that a little bit, what we want to call our fans. That's right. Our many, many fans.
Our hundreds of thousands of adoring fans. We're speaking things into existence.
Right. Perception is reality.
So, all you fans out there, what would you like to be called? Let us know. You know how to get a hold of us. I think that we're going to call that the end of episode 12.
I can't wait for episode 13.
Yeah. Look forward to sharing the rest of our conversation with Paula with everybody. We get into some great View It. So,
it's where we really Kevin, hit our stride.
You'll be pretty excited for that, hopefully.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Have a good one, everyone.
Bye.